Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, November 9th. I'm Ray Graff. Please pass the salt. How about a little pepper? Well, we'll talk about the art of seasoning food today and how you can enhance your culinary experience. We have some seasoned experts in the studio. Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel are here. They are the proprietors of Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts, and they produce an extensive variety of salts and seasonings that are sold across the region. This studio smells fantastic. Oh, wow, he's cutting stuff now, and we have all kinds of great food to talk about. If you want to spice things up, give us a call, 800-348-2551. It's a call-in show, after all, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Tony, Darby, and your calls coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and today, seasoning. Whether it's salt, herbs, spices, whatever you do. Salt can draw the water from a dish, magnifying its natural flavor. You know that. Pepper and basil add a little extra flavor. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And boy, do we have experts here, international ambassadors of a seasoning. Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel are here. They started growing garlic on a whim at their Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Soon they found themselves purveyors of a highly sought-after variety of garlic salts, mixes, rubs, and spices. They are here today with their latest tricks for the holiday cooking season. And the place smells like a holiday dinner table right now. It's so great here in Studio A. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Darby Weigel, Tony Carlotto, welcome back.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
You know, I didn't realize until just a moment before the show started that you actually, your job is to make people smile. I didn't realize that.
Number
Very
one.
Important.
And how did that begin?
Just we're always like, we're always happy, and we want everybody else to be happy in the world.
So what is that, a property of salt that I'm unaware of?
Just a property to start with a smile and spread it.
That's pretty
If you're
good.
Not happy, it's your own fault.
Well, I tell you, you know, before we get to this amazing bounty that you brought here, and you never fail, let's find out what you guys have been up to lately.
Well, last summer shows we did were in Glens Falls last week for Lair Act, for a two-day show up there.
What kind of a show?
It was an arts and crafts festival. Low Rad around their arts council.
Yeah.
Real nice in the sports dome. They do a spring show. We did the garlic festivals through September and October. Really good. Huge turnouts at all of them. Vermont, Connecticut, and Saugerties were fun. We got this weekend off. Got some historical society duties and Veterans Day, but we're on the gas next week right till Christmas with Berkshire Grown coming up.
Oh, fantastic. So you never stop, really?
Never stop. Never. Even in the spring, we go to stuff at the Connecticut Convention Center, home show, hunting and fishing show.
So you really don't take the winters off and relax?
No.
We take a little vacation every year.
Yeah.
And we go last year we went to Costa Rica, and we're going back in February.
Oh, fantastic.
So we get a little sunshine.
You know, before we started the show, usually about 3 or 4 hours before the show starts, my producer, Jim Lavula, says, okay, your show's about this today. And then I figured it out. Well, today he said, you know, we're going to talk about some Thanksgiving-type stuff. And frankly, Tony and Darby, you brought ribs. And I got to be honest with you, this to me would be a perfect Thanksgiving dish. You can dispense with the turkey. Just give me these ribs. Tell me about them.
Alternative food for Thanksgiving.
I dig it, man.
If Squanto had a pig, we'd have pork for Christmas and Thanksgiving. But I made some St. Louis ribs. It's very simple. Sometimes I do them overnight. I call them alarm clock ribs with a bigger rack. If you want to get up at 6 o'clock, put them in at 9, 350 for about half an hour, and put them down to 200. When you smell the ribs at 5, 6, or 7 o'clock in the morning, it's time to get up. I put them in with nothing. Put up my magic pork on them. Magic porky is a salt and pepper basing, some special herbs and stuff in it. Let them go with that. Then coat them whatever sauce you want. You can make your own sauce. Sometimes I'll take a can of a cherry pie filling and put them on there. Today I put a supermarket bought teriyaki honey sauce.
Oh.
After they got going, I just hit them three times during the course of 5 hours that they cook. But I turn them down to 200. And that They say meat that falls off the bone, but you should coax it off the bone a little bit. It shouldn't just fall off.
And that's the way these are. They're perfectly done.
So you can taste the meat with it, not too killer with it. I don't put any vinegar, sugar, extra goodies. Just let it roll. But any topping you want. It's simple to do.
But this is perfectly seasoned. And I love the way that the orange teriyaki sort of becomes a crust on the top.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when you get just at a low temperature for a longer time, does that automatically.
Outstanding. All right. And then the pastrami. You make your own pastrami. Yes. Who knew you made your own pastrami?
Pastrami. I make pork pastrami sometimes with pork loin. Same thing. I'll treat the meat with salt and sugar for 5 days, let it unsalt for a couple days, pepper and coriander, then put it in the smoker. And I found some nice beef brisket a couple weeks ago, so we have pastrami today. I did pork pastrami. I don't have no mastrami. It's the brother, the sister of pastrami.
That's okay. Thank you. Is that part of making everyone smile?
Oh, you bet.
Good for you, man.
And we got American bacon, which is the same thing with no spices on it. In Canada, it's Canadian bacon, but here it's American bacon. These are fully cooked. We can eat them like this. You can fry them like bacon till they're golden crispy.
So the American bacon, I can just eat like an apple.
Absolutely.
Walk around. Watch the cholesterol go up.
Yeah. Young Tom from HomeQuest, I bought a piece over last week. He just bit right into it and gnawed on it like nothing to her.
That's living. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel here from Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Among our favorite guests on this program, you brought sweet stuff, too.
That's Darby. Talk about Darb. Run away, Darb.
Yes, I do the sweet stuff. He's as good a cook as Tony is. He doesn't bake much.
Yeah. Well, that's a different art.
It is. We did not do the apple pies.
Oh, then I don't want it.
We'll tell you about that.
Oh,
is it good?
We'll go for it first, sure.
What'd you make?
I made pumpkin bread.
Yeah.
I try to make a sweet bread for every season. Like
right.
We'll do zucchini bread when the zucchinis are big and, you know, on and on. So we have pumpkin bread, and I make a world-famous apple brownie.
Okay.
That are absolutely...
All right, I'm going to break a little tiny piece off here.
Tony, you won't be able to stop.
No,
just
Tony
go
can
for
eat
it.
The whole plate of
I
those.
I just go.
All right, well, while I chew this, you tell us about what's in the apple brownie. And go.
Apples. Lots of apples.
You got to do better than that. I'm chewing.
It's your basic butter, sugar, cinnamon type stuff, but it just... I don't know. There's something about it that...
Oh, my heavens. That is fantastic.
They're absolutely outrageously
delicious. They stay so moist,
delicious.
You can't stop.
And you do that, Darby?
I do that.
You know, Tony, all these shows you've done, you never even mentioned this skill.
I said we got to get you more voice today in the show, and let's bring some of your baked goodies.
All right. Well, let's go take a call here. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Jillian in Syracuse has been waiting on the line for about 10 minutes now. Jillian, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
So I was wondering, what is the difference between Himalayan rock salt and then regular sea salt and iodized salt? Are there any health benefits that I should be considering when I'm choosing between the three?
That's a great question. And before we start, our legal department wants me to let you know.
We are no doctors.
That's right. Tony and Darby are far from doctors. But go ahead, Tony.
House salt, throw away. Put that on a robin's tail to try to catch
away.
The bird. Salt your driveway with it. Years ago, thyroid problems were a deal with goiters, and that ended in 1924, but the government added iodine to salt. It was a good way to get in the population, but it's not as healthy for you. In your table salt, it's cooked at high temperatures. The only thing remaining is sodium and chloride and an anti-caking agent and some iodine. All sea salts are good, whether it's a rock sea salt or a powdered sea salt or flavored anything, which has 84 minerals and elements, which your body uses each and one every day. And mind you, we're not doctors, but I happen to know this for a fact. And salt is good for you. It's the only rock that humans eat, so.
Okay.
Whatever you want with it.
Well, I don't know. I would make a joke about some of my family members cooking being like rocks, but let's not do that today. All right, Jillian, you want to follow up?
That was a great answer.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We have Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel here today. And you brought cheese as well. Yeah.
Oh, cheese, we put Magic Mingo on. We have a cousin named Mingo. He's a huge fan of yours.
Really?
And his wife, Mieko, is a huge fan of yours. But this salt I got into making flake salt in the summertime. I was starting to put on my corn on the cob a Cajun Creole seasoning. No butter, no regular salt and that. And then one day I had an epiphany. I says, boy, this would be good with some flake salt that melts in your mouth. And a little bit of vanilla bean infused sugar for Magic Tony, which I forgot to bring in the studio.
Oh, boy.
But it has a flake salt, essentially, which melts in your mouth. It doesn't need to be ground. I have a new version of Magic Mingo, which is a smoked salt.
And it says cherry flake?
Buttery.
What does that mean?
Cherry wood smoked. Oh. And there's a little pepper in it and on anything. And cheese is a good way to sample it to you. So if you want a smoky flavor on eggs, tomatoes, even on a whitefish, a good way to get
yeah.
it. Well, my Magic Tony works on everything. I ate a dozen ears of corn every night for 2 weeks.
He ate a dozen ears of corn. At least you ate a dozen ears of corn?
I mowed them down quick, left some stuff on so the chickens would pick off them. They'd come around the deck, and I was winging those out in the yard. But they clean them off. But it was good. My body tolerated it.
How many ears of corn a night did you eat, Darby?
I'd eat three.
You ate three?
I can't
which
eat 12.
Which seems almost
that's
human.
That's normal.
Yeah.
But with that Magic Tony salt on it, is the best thing going.
Well, I'll try a piece of the cheese here in a moment. Let's take a break. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We're spicing up our Food Friday today with two of our favorite guests, Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel of Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Mass. We'll be back. Vox Pop, it's Food Friday. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551, and their job is to spread smiles. Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel are here from Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Got to tell you, the cheese is always good. You always bring good cheese. It's even better with the Magic Mingo on there.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. Now, tell me about the flake salt. My memory, of course, is horrible. The last time you were here, you had flake salt. It was just, it looked like just white salt, mm-hmm. and it dissolved like almost immediately on hot food.
Well, flake salt, some people use for cooking or because it sticks to a food, or if you want to put it on pretzels for people with bacon and things like that. But when used in a mix like I'm doing here, it just melts in your mouth right away. So the smoky flavor, it's like a, I call it buttery smoke that melts in your mouth.
Yeah.
The Magic Tony's got the little bit of the vanilla bean sugar and Cajun Creole seasoning. Again, that melts in your mouth. So anything you put it on, so the taste sensation is right there immediately.
But how does it melt? I mean, is this a chemical
it's
thing?
Because
or
it's shaved off. It's, oh. it's a thinner. It's not quite as... No, thick as like a when you even grind it fine, but that flake just dissolves in your mouth right away. It's a nice taste sensation.
It really is. Our number here is 800-348-2551. And another call from Syracuse. What the heck? Joe in Syracuse, you're on.
Hi, this is a pretty boring question, but you're talking about salt a lot, and I love salt. And unfortunately, due to some health things that I've had come up, I won't be able to eat salt. So I was wondering. I tried the really basic salt substitutes, the Mrs. Dash kind of things that are really, you know, commercial, and they're very bitter to me. And I just wondered if you have a product or if you can recommend a product that tastes the most like salt. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Hey, thanks, Joe. You know, this comes up often on mm-hmm. this program, and I know you, Darby and Tony, have done a lot of thinking about this. First of all, why does a lot of the commercially made salt substitute to have that bitter taste?
It's not really salt. I don't know what they're doing to do it. It's like you said that years ago, I tried it on popcorn. I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
I'd recommend find a new doctor that lets you have salt.
Okay, well, let's assume that Joe in Syracuse, his doctor says no way. And I see that, what is this stuff? Tony's?
No salt.
Oh,
but it doesn't taste like salt, but it's a good fix for having something with flavoring on it. It's not a salty flavor, but will take care of your itch for anything.
And what is that?
It's called Tucson Cell, all but salt. And no oregano either. About 5 years ago, a woman said, do you have any no salt? And I said, I don't. So it took me 6 months to blend the things together and to figure out oregano was a stinker that covered everything up. When I took oregano out of it, all the other flavors come through. So it's quite popular for people who don't want salt or have salt issues.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of people don't think they can have salt, can have it. So
what does it taste
sea
like?
Sea salt. A little bit of everything. Here, smell it. Open this up.
All right, here.
Take a whiff.
You know what? I'm going to put some on my hand and lick it like I'm a cow. Hang on.
Hold it up the microphone. See if they can hear it, smell
it
through the speakers.
It needs to be ground, so.
It needs to be ground?
It smells good, though.
It looks good, too.
It is good.
All right. What's in this?
Salt is good. There's garlic, onion, bell peppers are the major things in it.
And these are just dried?
They're just dried herbs that grind up in it. There's basil, marjoram, thyme, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme, of course, is in there. Some carrot in there.
I'll grind it up myself.
A little bit of lemon rind in there.
You know, it's beautiful to look at.
Well, tell them about the turkey.
When I first did this about 5 years ago, after Thanksgiving, when turkey, it's 39 cents a pound now before Thanksgiving, where
right.
it was like 48 cents a pound.
Okay.
I bought a 14-pound turkey for like $7.40.
Yeah.
I put it in my cast iron lasagna pan on top of my wood stove overnight. I coated it with this with thoughts of doing salt and pepper in the morning.
Yeah.
When I got up in the morning, I cut into that baby like, no, you ain't seen. And I did gravy with it. I did soup with it. It did not need the salt or pepper. So it's a nice alternative
right,
to
fair
it.
Fair enough. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Seasoning today on the program. Let's go to Linda and Troy. Linda, you're on. Hello? Hello, Linda.
Oh, hi. Oh, I didn't think you were going to. Yeah, hi, I'm right here.
You're on.
Right. Let me take you off the seat.
Good idea.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, like a lot of people, I'm getting really turned on to using different sea salt, and there's all different kinds, of course, pink and black and Himalayan and what you get from Greece and all around. But I was wondering, it seems to me that it's better if you use it, put it on after you cook rather than while you're cooking. Like, I think it tastes sweeter.
This is something that Tony's talked about before, and so you have strong thoughts on this.
I'm a big proponent of seasoning things after you cook them, especially if you've got a nice, flavorful thing. My classic example is people take Montreal steak seasoning. Well, I marinated it for 2 days in there, put it on the grill, and it's killer. And there's no bad steak, there's no bad pizza, but it could be better. And our sex on the beef topping, I recommend if somebody's going to touch a flame or a burner, let the meat go without it. Let develop its own flavor, caramelization of the, the coating on the meat till it's nice and brown, that golden umami flavor, and add your seasoning after. Except
and the same thing with like soups and stews and so forth.
You can add a little bit before and after. That adds to the flavor on it too. And you don't really need a lot of salt and things. I like to salt other ways. At one time I came over, I bought some soup that had no salt at all. I developed all the flavor through caramelizing a few of the vegetables or ingredients into it.
I like it?
You liked it.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
But let the food speak for itself. And then again, post-season it afterwards. Although I make a baked hamburger, my grandmother baked hamburgers. A flavor to a baked hamburger is unbelievable. And I put my section of beef on that. Then I'll take and halfway cooked, put caramelized onions and cheddar cheese till it's brown, and it's unreal.
Did you bring those?
Mm. No, next time I will.
Okay,
next
fair
time.
Enough.
Yum.
Linda,
okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. You know, again, I like the turkey at Thanksgiving. I'm much more, I like ham. And sometimes at Christmas, I'll get the ham. And usually 2 days before Christmas, my wife says, look, we also need turkey. So then I have to go get a turkey. But what's a great way to season ham?
Salt and pepper, I think.
Yeah?
They give you that. There's things with sugar and spices in it. They're not bad. I don't think you can beat just a nice salt and pepper on a ham. And also the magic mingle. We do in Sheffield a men's breakfast at the senior center last Monday of the month. I'll bring a ham or a pork loin in there, and I put this magic mingle on the last time. That's all it needed. No, again, let the ham speak. If you get too much, sweet things on it, they want to put cherry juice and all that.
Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are regulars on this program, and 1 year they said, okay, use our Dr. Pepper glaze on the turkey, on the ham, and it was out of control.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. It was a big hit.
I just popped open that pulled pork for you.
You made pulled pork
as
well?
Speak about that. I cooked that with cheap root beer as the water, the liquid in there.
Yeah.
No salt or pepper. A little bit of magic mango to start with. And then afterwards, I added, it's a mustard-flavored sauce.
There's I'll be darned.
Mr. Nick Diller, Griller Diller from Barrington, makes a mustard sauce. He's a maven on the grill.
All right.
So I use his mustard sauce in there. And I put some various spice, mostly the salt and pepper in there. So,
all right, we'll try that. Let's take a call here, and I'll dispense it. Darby, would you like some of this, some of the pulled pork?
No, I had some for lunch already on the way over here.
I would love to see your car on the way over. Just chowing it up on the meat. All right, let's go to Luzia in Milan. Milan, you're on. Can you turn your radio down a little bit? Oh, for Pete's sake. No, we're on delay, so...
Houston, come in.
Hello, calling Buzz Aldrin. Ah, for Pete's sake. Okay, call us back then, Luzia. You call up. A couple ground rules. I guess I should mention this every once in a while. It's a good plan to have your radio down. You can listen while you're on hold. So if you're calling into the show, listen on your phone and keep your radio down. If you're listening on the radio, there's a delay. And then we're waiting for you, and we're hearing us talk back. And as much as we enjoy the sound of our own voices, it's not the best plan. So that's a good rule of thumb. Our number here is 800-348-2551. All right. Say something, and I'll try the pulled pork.
I'm going to be working on a cookbook. It's going to be called The Joy of Eating. I wanted to do
is
the
he really,
show
or
and
is
enjoy
he making
it
this
for
up?
Years and years. He's, I just didn't have it. A good name. I got all sorts of little ideas. And,
we need some
it's
time.
It's going to be written with flavorful language. Like, you have that delay button here for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, listen, I know how you
stuff,
roll.
Stuff,
that's
no
that's
cheese,
why we have a
stuff,
delay.
Right. But it's for people, eating is just as important as cooking. So, you know, there's only one calorie in that pork there, more or less.
In the whole thing?
That whole thing, right.
Don't come on.
Don't listen to him.
That is crazy talk.
The idea with a diet, Newton forgot a law. No, everything that goes in has to come out.
Okay.
And the top hole is bigger than the bottom hole.
Okay,
so
that's
make
it.
Sure.
Our number is 800-348-2525. Will you cut it out?
Look at Darby. She lost 35 pounds.
Did you really?
Yes.
Congratulations. How'd
I'm
you do that?
I'm holding still.
Cutting out sugar, mainly. Sugar
really?
And fat. I don't usually eat a lot of this kind of stuff.
So how do you live with them?
I've not been doing as much cooking lately.
No,
we're on the road quite
lost,
a bit.
He's lost 25 pounds also.
I understand, but, I mean, you're the purveyor. I mean, look at what you brought in. You brought in 8 zillion calories.
This is the first time I cooked big in a while. We're usually on the road. No Denny's, McDonald's.
Yeah.
Diners. We love the diners.
We do
Greek
like diners.
Diner food is good.
Yeah.
Diner food is great.
Do you ever bring a suitcase, like a traveling salesman, full of your salts to the diner?
Well, we bring in Tony's Tremendous all the time.
We
yeah.
Do.
Yeah.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. The pulled pork is great. I've never really had it with the mustard. That's a different angle.
Keeping it different. Everyone
yeah,
wants to do the same thing and kill it with the sauce. The mustard sauce lightly, so you still taste the pork. Let the food speak again. So that's kind of nice with that.
There are notes here. My producer is really good at his job, and he says, turmeric, what is it? Well, let's start with that.
Oh.
Turmeric, last November, I bought some turmeric at a market, one of the Berkshire-grown markets, from somebody who grew it in Waitley. And I made ginger, garlic, and turmeric blend. I thought I was the first kid on the block, but that's the holy trinity of health.
Yep.
But I was, I think, the first one to put it into a nice salt.
Yeah.
So we have that as a salt, and I also do that now as just the herbs without salt. It takes me about 2 weeks to make those, so it's hard to make a good batch. But turmeric is healthier for everything. Both Darby and I take a turmeric supplement. And at this age, your sore joints and it makes a difference. And if I'm out for a week, I can tell the difference when I'm not taking
really?
A turmeric supplement.
Now, again, you're not a doctor, but this is anecdotal at best. But what?
Well, I'm like Granny, and Jethro liked this red-eye gravy. Granny was a mountain doctor, so she had some good advice on that. But from experience, turmeric is good. And you should find a quality one that's got a little piperine in it. The cheap ones, your body doesn't get it. But to make a liquid gel you can find online, a gel cap, that delivers all that benefits to your body, and it does make a difference.
Okay.
And turmeric's used for coloring a lot of things. In the Chinese five spice, it's a main ingredient in that, so it's used for many things, and it's very healthy.
Well, the number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You mentioned this pie, and Darby, you didn't make this pie.
No, that pie is made by the cutest...
Florence Merrifield.
Florence Merrifield, who is... Where is their barn?
In Claverick, New York.
Ah.
They are the most wonderful people. She has her husband...
Floyd, he's 92. Florence is 86.
And their friend Homer.
Cousin Homer is 92. And Sharon.
They have this little barn, or big barn, where they sell her pies and
apples, pickles,
jams.
Everything.
It's...
And you just found this on your travels?
Yeah. Why make a pie when you can buy the best pie in the world?
I
got to
say, the
killer.
Crust looks phenomenal.
She's unbelievable.
She is unbelievable.
Yeah? Well, I'll try that one in a minute. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday with Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel. They are at Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts. And the garlic season now long done, right?
Yes.
Still
making a lot of black garlic I'm still into. It's such a good thing. And we could do a show. We talked about black garlic before, but that's just a nice thing. We do a black garlic salt. Black garlic is the basis of our sex on the beef topping, but essentially it's a 3,000-year-old Korean technique, which is 5 to 6 weeks at maybe 140 degrees. They do make a machine that does it in 12 days at 170 degrees. Not bad, but I've modified my equipment. A little lower temperature and longer time.
An oven, or what do you do?
It's like a rice cooker.
Yeah.
And you can fit probably 20 heads of good-sized heads of garlic in it. And I want the best flavor and the best product, so it takes me a little bit longer. But people eat it like candy. Again, it's very healthful. But my best trick, again, with that, if you go to blackgarlicseasalt.com, here's hints of stuff, but taking 2 cloves, any red sauce, even 2 jars of 99-cent marinara sauce, I did a demo at the Vermont Garlic Festival with it, in a pot, get it bubbling, I put 2 cloves on a soup spoon, rub it with a fork, it dissolves right in, it puts a layer of flavor that doesn't taste like crap, but it tastes like good stuff that will make you want to drink the sauce and lick the plate.
That's the eloquent words of Tony Carlotto here on the Food Friday program. Darby Weigel also here. You have some new jars there in front of you, Darby.
Yeah, we made have a couple of things for the holidays for your turkeys.
Oh, yeah, Gobble Me Up. What's that?
Gobble Me Up is a...
Gobble Me Up is a recipe from Laura Griffin of Your Spice of Life. I used to buy her stuff years ago. She made a Hurricane Courage I love, but... She says, I got a name that might fit along with your stuff. She says, Gobble Me Up. I says, boy, don't you know, that fits right in the line. So she gave me the recipe and lets us use it. So
what is the recipe? Can you share?
It's traditional. It starts off with sage. It's traditional. No spices on here. We got sage, celery, seed, thyme, rosemary, marjoram, and pepper. And I left a little bit. She wanted to grind up a little bit more. I left it more, I call country style. Not ground up so much, but you can put it in your stuffing, stuff it in the bird. At her recommendation, add it to a soup, a gravy. Oh. Put it in mayonnaise for spreads. You want that turkey taste all year round on a sandwich. So really good idea for that.
You know what we do what I like, it's not done every year, but what I like post-turkey day is the turkey croquettes. Mm. So maybe you can make a nice cream sauce
with
that stuff.
My ex-wife made the best, and she still does. I get a few in that. We're all good friends, and Darby, we're friends. There's no
boy. She shot you. She shot you a look there for a second.
I know, but still, her croquette was a thing. And then my kids love them.
Okay,
my granddaughter loves them.
Are we on a sore subject here?
No, it's good. So
everything's fine. Okay,
there's no time in life to be angry and sore. Yeah. That's why smiles. You know, we'll be dead before we know it. So why waste time?
Have you listened to the news at all?
No.
He tries to stay away from the news.
That's why you smile.
That's why I don't get depressed.
The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. When you guys make your turkey, I assume you do that at Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Not usually sometime, but I'll cook it in the middle of the year.
Do you brine the bird beforehand?
Sometimes I do, sometimes not. Depends how fast I want to eat. I talk about eating fast. We talked about it before. I did a skit for Facebook a few years ago, how to cook a turkey, hair and all. I didn't get a turkey, and I had my beloved Barack, Michelle, and their daughter Sasha, three turkeys. One was born on 10-10-10. I raised her in the house for 3 months in a cage, and the cats would sit in a cage and play with her. I used to fool Barack every year. I'd pardon him. I'd get the axe out and hold him up and I'd take a picture of your pardon. Okay. So one year for our skit, I did a little video. I said, I want how to cook this turkey, hair and all. So I called 800-Butterball. Give me those West Virginia or Tennessee guys. They would know how to do this. He's just 450 in the oven, throw him in, and that's it. And I says, for how long? Until he's done. I says, well, no stuffing, Sherlock, till he's done, huh? So I pretended I stuck him in the oven, did a 180. I had an eye of the round going already in that.
Yeah.
So continue on the video. I took the eye of the round out, and it says, this is what we ended up with. You see the little bit of hairs on it. We got more comments on that to a...
So you're a Facebook entertainer as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you bet.
Culinary entertainer. People look for that just to be happy every day.
They do.
Who knew? My question about the brining is Rick Orlando, who will be on next week, I understand.
I came to catch the last show with him. It was kind of nice, too. And I never got to see him at the Hudson Valley Garlic Fest. I wanted to look him up. But we were so busy. It was a good show.
He's a great guy, and he really knows what he's doing. And years ago, he taught me that you brine that bird for, we do ours for almost 2 days. In a liquid brine, and I'm wondering, is there a seasoning that you guys might recommend for that?
You can add almost anything. No salt and sugar you want
salt,
to put in there. Salt and sugar and put in there, but no, whatever flavor you want to put in there. Some people like garlic in it, or you could take this Gobble Me Up, put some of that in there for a different flavor too.
I'm thinking that magic mingo works.
A little bit of smoke could be exactly. It's a way to get some nice smoke without a smoker, just a hint of smoke flavor in it, so it could work as a trick with that too.
Tony Carlotto, Darby Weigel here from, Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts. We'll take a quick break. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Food Friday. We'll be right back. Yes, nothing says holiday get-togethers like Frank Zappa. So we got a little Zappa here on the Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. Tony Carlotto, Darby Weigel are here, and we talk seasoning, and we have a good time with these two all the time. By the way, you brought a beverage, and we started it at the beginning of the show. What is this stuff?
Carr's Cider Mill, black currant cider. They usually it's the first one to sell out. I got it about 3 years ago at the Berkshire Grilling Markets, and man, a Chevrolet's had good stuff.
That is tasty. Now, say it again. Say the name of the stuff. Cards?
Cars.
Car. C-A-R-R.
Really
good.
They're
in Waitley, Mass.
CarCiderHouse.com.
Not a sweet beverage.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's
you
nice.
Never
it's
think of this.
It's got a little
this.
Dryness
right,
to
yeah.
it. Really nice.
And a beautiful flavor.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Again, I'm not a traditionalist. I prefer, if my household would ever let me dispense with the turkey dinner on the holidays, I'm down with that. Pasta, meatballs, sausage, that's a meal. And I know that you have something cooking for pasta.
I got a topping called May's Mamma Mia topping. My mom's name was May, and I think we talked before. Our spaghetti day was Wednesday. And every Wednesday we had spaghetti. And when she moved to Florida in later years, when I come down, the first day I got there, she'd work all day. We have spaghetti dinner that night. And on Fridays, Mingo's mom, Rose, would make a spaghetti dinner. A little bit different flavor with her. So I got twice a week, I got to hit the pasta up with two different sauces. But I made a topping that's essentially salt, pepper, garlic, mushroom flavored, various herbs, and a little bit of Parmesan cheese in it.
That's good.
So whether it's buttered or sauce, it's killer both ways.
Mm.
My stage of life, I still can't make my mind up whether it's buttered or sauce. So I do a half a pound of each. And
That's so funny. Now, in my household, there is a split down the middle, too. Some love the sauce.
Do actually, both.
Well, that's what we have to do every time. So this stuff would go good on the butter, too.
Absolutely. Mm. Before I gave up gluten, I sneak a little bit here and there. I would wake up twice a month at 2 o'clock in the morning out of a dead sleep to go down and make butter spaghetti with black truffle salt on it.
Amazing.
A pound.
Then you make a pound in the middle of the night.
Why put it away? Just throw the whole pound in, stick of butter, black truffle salt.
Your Alka-Seltzer bill must have been out of control, man.
Don't need it.
Well, like we said, we're getting older, so you know, you wake up, you go do this stuff. You might not be able to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, you make a point. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Jim in Little Falls, you're on.
Yeah, so I just want to ask Tony, I was a little late this year, and I just got my garlic in. Will it be okay?
You're early in my book. Last year, I planted my garlic. The last of the garlic went in December 10th, and it froze on December 11th. It came up perfectly. If you get it too early, I like to get a couple frosts in, recommend that to people. You don't want it getting grown too big before, and this year it's a little cooler and wetter, so it's an odd year, but if you let it come up too much before.
Because I always thought the rule of thumb was October 18th.
No, depending on how many of the good frosts we had, and like I said, I think 3 years in a row, 3 years ago, I was out at 10 o'clock at night with a headlamp and the tiller putting the last bit of garlic in, so I just ran out of time, and they all came up good, and they came on time, too, and they weren't late, so it worked out well, so you're okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. Our number is 800-348-2551. Now, wait a minute. This is counterintuitive to somebody who really has very little intuition about gardening in any way. You plant the garlic in the dead of winter?
In the fall. Well, actually, it's still before the ground froze, and it was almost because I had to. I didn't have time. But shows going out, things were doing, and it just happened to work out that way, and it worked out good. So I wouldn't have thought of it either, but by experience, I can tell you it works. So.
And then when does it come up?
Usually we'll start coming out in when the ground, maybe the end of March, the little tips will come up. It'll come up before the winter. They'll come up maybe 3-4 inches. Sometimes if you plant it too early and it's too warm, it'll come up maybe 8 inches. It's okay. Put some mulch or something over it and take it off in the spring. And I think we talked before, I wrote an ode to garlic. It's on my website.
Oh, yeah.
It's a life cycle of garlic, you know, until it goes in the fall and sleeps in the winter and the shoots come up. And then the whole cycle is kind of neat. I did that in about a half an hour. It just came out one day. But as it grows on and on until, you know, through June, it gets bigger and bigger.
What happens if you plant it after the thaw?
If you plant it in the spring, your garlic you plant in the fall will last 6 to 9 months longevity. Garlic you plant in the spring, say if you get in March, you know, or at least as soon as you can work the ground, will come up in October, but will last maybe 5 or 6 months. But still it's good garlic, and if you're using garlic enough, that's not an issue of it going bad on you.
And your garlic growing operation, how big is that?
All depends how much time I got to get in.
Well, in general, like let's say this year.
A good year, I had about 800 linear feet of garlic.
How many
last
plants?
Last year, maybe 500. I put 2,000 cloves in. Maybe 10 years ago was the biggest crop I ever did, which started this whole business here. The Story Publication has a pamphlet, $3.95, 28 pages, and 14 recipes, 14 of garlic facts. A little paragraph in there, make your own garlic salt, started all this. So
that's
enough
began.
About that.
That's
to
how it began.
And so you have 800 square feet, you said?
No, 800 linear feet of
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
It is a lot.
And so I remember several years ago you were on and you had all different varieties. Now you've pared that down?
I cut it down to a couple. I specialize in growing purple glazer, which is a purple skin variety. And the first salt I made, we still call it purple glazer. But I put a beet chip. It's purple skin and white, but a little beet chip for color. It's a pretty salt. It has nothing to do with the flavor in it. And our most popular garlic salt now is Darby's Garlic Festival, which has purple glazer, double roasted, red Hawaiian garlic salt, black Hawaiian garlic salt.
That is fantastic.
It's about 30% garlic. It's just organic garlic and salt. That's it.
So it's 30% garlic, 70% salt.
Yeah, there's a lot
salt.
Of garlic in there, yeah.
That's good. And it's pretty popular in my kitchen. It stays pretty
close.
And I grow
a German red also, and that's it. They're both big clove varieties.
German red?
Yeah, German redneck. I call it German redneck, but German red are big cloves.
Nice.
There's hard neck and soft neck varieties. It's a hard neck variety.
All right, Tony, let's cut our losses and go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Sav in Mill River is on. Hello.
Hey, Tony. Hi, Darby.
Hey, Sav. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good. I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good.
Hey, I got a question. What is the best way to store garlic long term?
Not too cold, not too damp, not the base. I think in your regular household, you know, if you find a room somewhere, a closet, is the best way to do it. I've had bad luck, you know, upstairs in the barn, upstairs where it's warmer. In the basement, definitely no dampness and no dampness on that. But a standard room, I had some red onions last, or 2 years ago, that lasted right till spring. And I had them just in the other side of the house in a box, and it's unbelievable how they last. Same with the garlic. So,
what's the average temperature in your house, though?
Oh, 38 degrees.
Cold. Yeah, Darby says cold.
Sometimes it's a four cat night, so we got to
no. No, seriously, it's a cold.
I keep it like 60 or so, too. And that other side of the house, maybe 55. But even if it was closer to 70 or somewhere, a closet, another room or something. I think the dryness of that, the average, you know, keeping that up and down with the dampness, humidity, or mold growing on it, I've had the best luck.
All right, Sav, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Tony Carlotto and Darby Weagle here from Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts. He keeps it at 55 to 60, Darby. Don't you have a say in this?
No. Oh, I have a wood stove. We just cozy up to the wood stove.
It's not bad.
It's nice in that room. It's nice.
It's healthier for you.
Plus, you're on the road.
We're never there.
Yeah. Well, our number here is 800-348-2551. And let's shoot over to who's next here? Brenda in Pine Plains. Brenda, you're on. Hello, Brenda. We're having some issues here. Brenda?
Houston, come in.
We're having some issues on the phone. Maybe we'll get these people back. Everything okay with the phones in there? Okay. 800-348-2551 is our number. It is Food Friday. Tony Carlotto, Darby Weagle are here from Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts. And what are you holding in your hand there?
Tony's Tremendous Turkey Topping.
Okay, well.
All-purpose poultry blend. Works on roosters, too. And birds of a feather cooked together. Well, so this will work on anything.
So this would maybe be one that I could use in the brine.
You could, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes more sense than the gobble me up. The gobble me up would be in
the
stuffing.
Well, that's for flavor, yeah. You put a little bit in the brine for flavor. But this one, you need more salt in that probably in your brine. So add this for a little bit of flavor. Probably put this as a finishing topping on
with the kosher
product.
Salt.
Yeah, put your regular kosher salt in with your brine to that. It'll take too much of this to do it to a.
You know, I saw in the store they have, you can buy sea salt that has been iodized. You know that? I didn't realize that. All right, back to the phones. And Brenda now in Pine Plains. Brenda, you're on.
Yes, hi. This is just a quick question about the turkey brine. Mine usually, first of all, I never know what to brine it in. Nothing is ever big enough.
Ah.
But the other thing is the recipe, usually it comes out too salty. Do you have a good recipe for the brine?
Just cut the salt down. To where you want to be, it might be recommended of, you know, a quarter cup of salt for a gallon.
I'm sorry, a cup of salt?
But cut the salt amount down.
Cut it down a little bit.
Cut the salt amount down. Well, yeah, I've been doing this for years. I've tried cutting it down.
Hey, Brenda, I got news for you. Now, Rick Orlando will be on next week, but his trick that he taught my wife and me is that you get a, you know, a cooler, a big cooler. You line it,
okay.
And you line it with plastic bags or whatever, like a garbage bag or whatever, and you put your bird in there with the water and the salt. the sea salt and whatever spices you want, and you let it go. It's got to be cold. But Rick,
yeah, you have to keep it cold. Yeah.
Rick will be on next week at this time. So if you have brining questions, he is the guy to talk to.
Great. Okay. Thanks a million.
Thanks. Have a great weekend. Let's go over to Geraldine in Amherst. Hello.
Hi. Okay. I can't lift a big turkey anymore. So I have 16 people coming, and I like to stuff my turkey. Can I get two medium-sized turkeys and get the same result?
I'd do four chickens. It'd be even easier.
Four chickens.
I used to cook twin turkeys because I like a smaller turkey myself. A 10 or 12-pound turkey I like, and I love cooking smaller turkeys and put them both side by side. No, Mr. and Mrs., do whatever you want with them, but no, I like a smaller turkey. It's better.
There you go.
They cook. I think they cook better that way.
How long would you cook them for?
Till they're done.
They're going to be done.
Okay. Sorry, Geraldine. He's being a wise guy. Again, I would recommend you give Rick Orlando and Deanna Fox a call. They'll be on next week, and we're doing a Thanksgiving show. So if you can tune in next week, we will have that answer for you.
Can I just mention the gravy I make, because it's a family recipe that goes back three generations.
Sure, let's hear it.
All right, we put all of the vegetables, the carrots, onions, and celery underneath the turkey. Dust the turkey with a celery, onion, sauteed challah stuffing, dried out challah. And when the turkey comes out, we puree all those vegetables together from the bottom, and we don't use any flour. And we add some mushroom juice from cooked mushrooms from the night before.
That sounds great.
That's the way I do it. Same, mix those veggies together, grind them up. That's
very
perfect.
Very thick. Very thick. We never use flour.
Oh, that is something. That's good advice.
It's really thick. It doesn't taste tasty. The kids can't get enough of it.
That sounds healthy, too. That's good.
Oh, yeah, very healthy.
Well, thanks a lot for the call, and hopefully you'll call in next week as well. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Tony Carlotto, Darby Weigel here from Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts, both on diets and doing extremely well. And you attribute, Tony, your good health to salt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you're not a doctor.
No doctor. I'm a mountain doctor. My granny was a mountain doctor. I'm a
sure.
mountain doctor.
Or yeah.
Hillbilly doctor, but it needs another thing on the salt, which we're doing more. I just got a book on it. Is salt equals life, salt and water. And again, making a sole, which is taking, you can take a mason jar, say a 16-ounce jar, or in a bottle, half full of salt, fill it with water, let it sit for at least 24 hours till the water becomes so saturated with salt it cannot take anymore. If you take a tablespoon of that to a glass of water in the morning, it remineralizes your body, so that's a proven fact on that. So,
really,
if you can't have salt, but I've just gotten into a whole book by a German doctor about it. It's amazing that the salt works differently. There's salt in our body, water in our body, outside of the water in our body, so it's called sole, S-O-L-E, pronounced sole. So,
how do you have time with this schedule to read all these books?
22 and a half hours.
He does
a day.
Not sleep.
You don't. You really? You don't sleep?
Yeah.
No.
That's crazy.
The week of the Hudson Valley Garlic Festival, I went 148 hours. As you know, 7 times 24 is 168.
All right, you know, look,
that's four all-nighters.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you that's not a good plan.
Well, I'm having fun. I'm still smiling. It's
all
okay.
Right,
I
yeah.
catch up here. I fell asleep in the green room out here. And Jill
he was
out
asleep
snoring.
Out there.
Then that'll tell you how great our programming can be, huh?
It is.
Let's go to Crystal in Clifton Park. Crystal.
Hi.
Hello.
I was wondering, the other end of the garlic scapes, do you pickle them?
You can pickle them. I like to. I make salt out of them now because I bring them to markets. Everybody brings them to market. And again, we covered this before. Nobody wants to buy them. They don't know what to do when I make a salt. But pickled garlic scapes are killer.
Well, that sounds delicious.
They freeze very well
awesome.
Also.
Pesto.
You can grind them up.
I turned on to them. I had no idea they were a thing.
Oh.
And now I can't get enough. I get them for all my friends and family, and they love them. And I didn't know if you guys did that.
And Crystal, Darby just said pesto kind of quietly.
Well, a lot of people make pesto out of them.
Oh,
that's a good idea.
We make a salt holy right. pesto, which is yeah. garlic and the garlic scapes.
All right. Well, Crystal, thanks for calling. Let's go over to John in Clifton Park. John, you're on.
Thank you. I have a question. I went to a garlic festival in Schoharie County a month ago, and they had fermented garlic. Do you guys do that, and do you recommend... How do you recommend fermenting garlic?
Well, fermented garlic, is I make black garlic. And it's beyond fermentation. They make the machine that's a black garlic machine. They also call a garlic fermenter. So if you want a little bit beyond, it could be good. There's a way to do it with some water, like your standard fermented vegetables, a little bit of honey in it is a common method to do it.
Yeah.
I take it beyond fermenting to the black garlic is what's actually called a Maillard reaction. It changes the whole chemical structure of it, makes it sweet, almost candy-like, and great in recipes and to eat. But you can use any kind of method of fermenting it that you want. There's a number of them there for plain fermentation or with some honey in it. So
we did a show on fermentation.
Yeah, it was the black garlic that I had. It was amazing, I thought. It's supposed to be super healthy.
Well, black garlic, some people term it wrong as fermented, but it's a Maillard reaction when it's done right to it. And it's good stuff, like you said. It's good.
Well, John, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we did a whole show on fermentation.
Oh.
And the whole thing seems to me to be a little like magic.
It is. It's just water and salt.
And I'd be afraid that it would go bad, and, you know.
If you get it just, you know when it's bad if it doesn't go, if you don't have enough salt in it. But, boy, fermented carrots, pickles are amazing. Your sour pickles.
But I've never heard of fermented garlic before. And again, explain to me the difference between black garlic and fermented garlic.
Black garlic has taken longer time. So it goes
beyond fermentation.
Way beyond fermentation. Like I said, it's called a Maillard. It's a Maillard
reaction. How do you make black garlic?
And that's, again, in that machine. It's tightened up like a rice cooker. Mine is done at 140 degrees, where so many of the commercial ones are done at 170 degrees. But it's soft like licorice. We brought it in before, but it tastes very sweet, like candy.
Yeah.
And it's triple the health benefits of standard garlic. And people get turned on to it, eat it all day long. And I can't make enough of it. Just not enough time.
Is there a specific variety of garlic that you would use to make that?
They'll all work well. I like the bigger heads on it, the bigger cloves, so I get more meat out of it.
So German redneck.
The same with this one, the German redneck, yep. And the purple, any larger, like a music garlic, something like that.
Mm. Well, what's going to go in the ground this late fall?
Well, so I got to get some garlic in when we get time here.
Well, no, I understand.
Stop raining.
What type of garlic, Tony Carlotta?
A purple glazer and the German.
Okay.
German red. That's all I'm going to do now, too.
Well, you know what? We're down to the end of the show here. First of all, what do you guys have coming up next?
Next week is Berkshire Grown. It's a Saturday in Williamstown.
Okay.
No, it's not. It's a Saturday in Great Barrington.
Saturday in Great Barrington. Sunday in Williamstown.
Sunday in Williamstown.
It's at the elementary school. It's changed from Williams College. But it used to be at Williams College. They're resurfacing the hall they had in the track inside sports event there. And after that, we go to Connecticut. What's that?
We go to Bethlehem, Connecticut.
Nice.
They have a, needless to say.
We got one more. We got West Hartford and
Oh, that's right.
We're
doing a show in West Hartford. We're doing a show at the AquaTurf in Southington. Then we go to
Christmastown, USA. Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
Do you have a manager who keeps track of all this stuff?
No. That's a full-time job itself, just doing the apps and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a thing called the Shindy in Pittsfield, Mass. It's 2 days.
Yeah.
Amazing
Fabulous
event.
Show.
It's,
really?
Fabulous.
Lots of vendors you don't see ever. Then Berkshire Grown again.
Well,
in a couple days in Brattleboro.
Well, you know, we're out of time here, but quickly, how do people find out more about Rolling Rock Farm?
www.rollingrocksalt.com. Our schedule's on there.
All right, well, Darby Weigel and Tony Carlotta, we are at the end of the program. Support comes from Henry's at the Farm Restaurant, Buttermilk Falls, Milton, taking reservations for the Thanksgiving buffet at the Buttermilk Barn, Thursday, November 22nd, seatings from 1 to 7 p.m., buttermilkfallsinn.com. 20 Railroad Public House, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Seasonally inspired pub fare, now offering traditional wood-fired Neapolitan pizza, catering, menu, and hours, 20railroad.com. Warwick Valley Farmers Market, the 25th season of bringing fresh from the farm food ready for the table. Weekly new foods from artisan vendors on Sundays, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., warwickvalleyfarmersmarket.org. And Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarsky's.com. Thanks again to Tony Carlotta and Darby Weigel of Rolling Rock Farm for being with us today. Thank you for listening and for some terrific calls. Thanks to our engineer, Zachary Malloy. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely, safe weekend. Be back on Monday at 2 p.m. Alan will be in the big chair for a Medical Monday. Right now, stand by for news.